We have already spent 6 weeks now on this subject of not so superheroes of the Bible, and so far I've slapped that superhero insignia on everybody from Abraham and Sarah to last week to Peter and Paul, and we've learned something from all of these not so superheroes. From Abraham and Sarah, we learned the importance of faith and of answering God's call. No matter how unsuspected it might be, or how strange that call might be to answer that call, we also learned that sometimes when we try to take things into our own hands and do things in our own time, that there can be consequences. That we really need to trust in God's timing. The second week we talked about Gideon, the judge, and how even fear can be overcome. And how God often calls the least likely folks. And Gideon was probably the least likely warrior of all time. And yet God used him to bring victory to the people of Israel. The third week we talked about King David. And we learned the importance of when you make a mistake, recognizing that and turning again in God's direction. And another word for that is repentance. But that's what made David a man after God's own heart, was that he saw his mistake and he was willing to correct it and do whatever he could to be faithful. In the New Testament, we talked about the woman at the well, and we saw that no matter how many mistakes we've made, or even if the world has completely given up on us, God still loves us and still has work for us to do. And Peter and Paul, which we just talked about last week, we're reminded that despite the fact that they were two very different individuals, different educational backgrounds, different experiences of Jesus, yet they both were critical to the work that Jesus was doing. And I think a big part of that was the fact that the presence of Jesus was powerfully at work in them. They sought to imitate Jesus and to be Jesus in the world. And so today we're finally got to the last of this, and now we're going to talk about who I think is the most important superhero of all, and that is you. You are the most important superhero. Now, you may have never dreamed of being a superhero yourself. I know I did as a kid. I had quite an imagination. I know there was one summer where I was pretty sure that if I just rode my bike fast enough, I could actually fly. And there were some other stunts that I pulled too, and I still have the scars to prove that. But even if you haven't imagined being a superhero, you can probably imagine how valuable it would be to have some superpowers like that. For instance, in the universe of Superman, airliners regularly get saved from crashing into the ground, and innocent victims are plucked from danger and taken to safety, and sometimes the whole world is saved. And I've always, I don't know if you notice how Superman has his arms outstretched like that. Not an accident. There's a lot of connections between Superman and Jesus, but that's for another time. A band that came out a couple of years ago by the name of Crash Test Dummies, some of you may remember them, came out with a song called Superman, and it has praise and lament. Praise for Superman's integrity and power, and lament that there just aren't more people like him. And the chorus to that song goes like this: Superman never made any money for saving the world from Solomon Grundy, and sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. And unfortunately, that's true. The world will never see another man like him, because he never existed. Superman is made up. He's just a part of our imagination. It's just something fun that people have done. And that's why, ultimately, guess where the responsibility for others, the responsibility for the world and for ourselves, ultimately it lies in us. We are to be the superheroes of our lives and of the world's, with God's help. And that's really kind of where the scripture readings that we're going to be looking at today kind of point us. The first one is taken from John's Gospel, and there's a big section in the middle of John's Gospel where Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he's teaching them about the power of the Holy Spirit that's coming to them, that is going to empower them for ministry, and they're going to be doing amazing things. But first, Jesus has to go to the Father. And this was hard for the disciples to get their heads around, that he would have to leave them before that would happen. But he assures them that it's a good thing. And this is one of the verses. This is taken from John chapter 14. Jesus says to them, to the disciples, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read those words, that's pretty astounding to me, that we will do even greater works than these. And so one of the places my mind goes when I think about this, I begin to think of Jesus' miracles. I think of him walking on the water and turning water into wine and feeding the 5,000 with just a couple of loaves of bread and fish. And I wonder, is that what we're supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be doing miracles even greater than that? And so I did a little bit of research, and some of you may have heard of this preacher. His name's Tony Campolo, and he has kind of an interesting take on this passage, and I think I have to agree with him. When it comes to miracles, his saying is, "Never trust a bald miracle worker." And you know what? That makes a lot of sense to me. If they can't manage to grow hair on the top of their head, I'm looking around, I see a couple that would fit into that category, then why should we trust them to defy any other, you know, rules of nature? Probably not a good idea. And then he points out the fact that Jesus says that we will do, his disciples will do greater works than these. So what are the works that we're talking about? Not miracles, but works are we talking about? And the works is really summarized by our mission statement, which is to be and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to take the gospel to the world. That is the works that we are called to reconcile people with God. And if you think about it in those terms, then Jesus' prediction that the disciples would do greater things than him actually came true almost right away. It came true right after the Spirit came to the first disciples, because we read that there were three, when Peter stood and preached for the first time after that Pentecost, 3,000 people were added in one day. That's more people than Jesus saved in his 3 years of ministry. It was just boom, just like that, it happened. Greater things began to happen. Our second scripture reading for today comes from essentially from the same story, but a little bit earlier. So we back up from the 3,000 that were added. And what we learn is that when Peter stands to preach, he shares with them a text from the prophet Joel. Very first thing he said, "These people aren't drunk like it looks. I know that they're acting crazy. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, but they're not drunk. What's happening is that this is the prophecy that Joel prophesied hundreds of years before. And these were the words: in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy." It's a pretty remarkable text. When Joel prophesied this text hundreds of years before Peter repeated it, it was a pretty revolutionary thing to say that even slaves, men and women, male and female slaves, would have the power of God present in them, working through them. It's pretty amazing. When Peter said it was remarkable, today it's still just as amazing. Normally, when we think of power, we don't tend to think of, for instance, slave labor, especially female slaves, as having really much any power at all. They certainly didn't then, and probably still they don't today. When we think of power, we think of wealth, we think of physical strength, we think of charisma and assertiveness and confidence and all these kinds of things. That's what power looks like to us. And in some ways, Jesus kind of represents some of that. I mean, he was smart, he was a great communicator, he was charismatic, all of that. He had supernatural power at his fingertips. He could walk on water, he could turn water into wine, he could command the weather with his voice. Pretty powerful stuff. But it's always been interesting to me that when the Apostle Paul, who's kind of the primary interpreter of the gospel in the New Testament, when he lifts up the most powerful thing about Jesus, what was it? Was it his miracles? Was it his supernatural power? Not at all. In Philippians, he says, let the same mind be among you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, literally he was God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, people would bow down on heaven, in heaven and earth and below the earth. So the reason God exalted Jesus was because he humbled himself, not because of any power or any miracles or anything like that, because he humbled himself and died on the cross. And I believe that for those of us who want to grow in spiritual wisdom, who want to grow in influence with other people, that there's a lesson to be learned here. And the lesson is that when we humble ourselves, when we follow our hearts and allow our hearts to lead us into sacrificial service and to love others, that we tap into a power that is greater than anything that we might be able to imagine. I also believe that a lot of times we serve that power, we use that power in ways that nobody ever sees, things that are behind the scenes, that are essentially anonymous, that go unheralded. But occasionally, that power and that service does rise to the level of superhero status, because it does change the world. I think it's one of the only things that can change the world. And I want to share with you a couple of stories that are two of my absolute favorite stories that I think that are excellent illustrations of this. Both came from a visit that I took to the Holy Lands in 2000, so it had been 14 years ago now, and one of the things that we did in our visit to the Holy Lands is we went to visit a place called Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Memorial, and we heard a lot of really powerful stories that day, but there were two that stood out, and both of them were about Christians and how Christians helped Jews during the Holocaust. And the first story is about, actually it's about the entire nation of Denmark. This was something this is a story I'd never heard. When the Nazis came in and conquered Denmark and occupied it, one of the first things they did was they required all of the Jews to wear a yellow star of David, just like they had done in Germany, just like they had done in Poland. And what I love about these Danish people is that the Christian population, which was everybody else, stood in solidarity with their Jewish brothers and sisters, and they wore the yellow stars too. Everybody wore a yellow star. So it was impossible to figure out who was who. Isn't that awesome? Everybody had a star on. And while they were doing that, Danish fishermen, this is one of the boats that was used, just these little fishing boats, ferried people across the North Sea. 7,200 Jews were taken to safety in little boats just like that one. And the Jews in Israel don't want anybody to forget this, that this happened. I just think that's amazing. Ordinary people that were willing to serve sacrificially, danger of their own lives during a time of extraordinary evil in our history. Another story from that same time about a man named Janusz Gorzka, who was a Christian man in Germany who ran an orphanage. When it became known to the Nazis that Gorzka had Jewish children in his orphanage, they came to him and they said, he was a Christian, so they said, you're welcome to go about your business, but we're going to take these Jewish children. You can either let us take them to this camp, it was called Treblinka, or you can go with them. It's up to you. He chose to go with them and to die with them. And outside the children's memorial at Yad Vashem is this statue, this beautiful, beautiful, it's a very large carving of Janusz Gorzka surrounded by the children that he loved and that he comforted in their last days and hours and with whom he died. Now, I think he tapped into real power. I'm sure he wouldn't have considered himself a superhero. In fact, he probably considered himself a failure. But we look back on the love that guided him. And we have this story to tell, and he will be remembered in Israel forever because of his sacrifice, because of what he did. I believe that God is calling all of us to faithfulness. He's calling all of us to follow our hearts, to love extravagantly, sacrificially even. And when I look, I believe that we're not smart enough, we're not powerful enough, we're not strong enough to be superheroes, but I also believe that with God's power at work in us, we're capable of doing amazing things. And I see it happening all the time. I see it right here in our church. I see it in volunteers that work with children and youth and that serve in our community that are doing amazing things. I see it in our band and in our choir and people who give sacrificially of their time in order to serve the purposes of God in this community. I see it in people who are at work improving the life of our church, that are serving in ministries, that are serving in the community. I see the power of Jesus at work in people all the time. And that's really what it's all about. So the question for us today is not, are you a superhero or will you be a superhero? The real question is, are you ready to love fully and to follow where that love leads? Another way of saying that is, are you ready to find your place on the journey? If the answer is yes, then I think you might just be surprised to find the superhero in you. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you do call us to give, to live beyond ourselves, to recognize that we are a part of something so much bigger than who we are, but that you have called us, weak as we are, imperfect as we are, to love and to serve you extravagantly. Bless us as we seek to live in that love, to let that love flow through us in all that we do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.